distracted with this nonsense, because if we weren't distracted with that, then that deep sense that something is not well and that we really have deep problems to solve would be directed up at them. So they always have to direct it down. That's also why we have to be concerned about Trump. He will always direct that. He will harness that rage and he will direct it at the most vulnerable.
Naomi Klein, professor of climate justice, University of British Columbia. Her book is just out, Doppelganger, A Trip into the Mirror World. It's in paperback.
Millions of eligible voters in America never make it to the polls or even register to vote. When you don't vote, you're letting other people make decisions for you and pick the things your taxes will pay for. Voting is more than a civic duty. It gives you a voice about the priorities and the future of your community and our nation. Voting gives you a seat at the table.
And a public service announcement. Brought to you here on WUSB. The deadline in New York State to register to vote is the 26th, which I believe is Saturday. So, get your asses in gear if they're not already. It's very, very important this year. You are listening to WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting on an assigned frequency of 90.1 FM, as well as 107.3 FM, and broadcasting to the entire internet at WUSB.FM. It's Tuesday night. It's 6 o'clock. It's time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle over there.
It can't be true.
Yeah, what? Oh, you're reading that book again. It can't happen
here.
I'm not doing anything. You should be reading the book. It is happening here. That's been disproven, that it can't happen here. Yeah, it can happen anywhere.
Yeah, I can't get into the story. I'm working on it, though. You know, you have to keep reading. When reading gets difficult, you know, stop and then try again.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And, you know, that works for almost anything.
This is all about, it's all about literacy and being upbeat.
We're an educational radio station, so, yeah, we're obligated to encourage literacy.
Here at the Stony Brook campus, mm-hmm. broadcasting worldwide over the web at WUSB.FM.
You know, I have to say, we're broadcasting remotely, as we've been doing since COVID.
Why even mention
it? Well, because, you know, it's important to point out that,
No one knows.
We're in this magnificent facility here. We went to the station, the actual broadcasting station, at One Broadcast Plaza at Stony Brook.
Oh, I see where you're going.
And boy, the place looks good. It really does. You know, some folks there have been cleaning things and organizing things, and I expected a catastrophe, a disaster. But boy, it's not all we need is funding to keep going. And of course, that's where you, our listener, can play a dramatic role by supporting the radio station. We're in the middle of Radiothon, WUSB.FM. When I started this, I had no intention of even veering into that, but it's true. We are in the middle of our biannual. Which one is twice a year? Biannual or biannual? Whatever. It's the twice a year one. This is the second one of the year. And by going to WUSB.FM, pledging whatever you can afford from wherever you are in the world, you can help support WUSB, keep us going. And we've been on the air since 1977. And boy, it's been a roller coaster ride, and hopefully we have many more rides to go on together. Speaking of roller coasters, brings us to the election that's going on here in this country right now, in case you haven't heard about it. You saw that that thing with Trump in the McDonald's, right? This was priceless.
How could you not?
Oh, wow. Okay, so I'm not sure why he did this, but he was determined to work at McDonald's for a few minutes. I think it's because Kamala Harris said that she worked at McDonald's. And for some reason, he's insisting that she didn't. I don't know how he would know that. I don't know why she would lie about that. And, you know, it's probably not hard to ask her, so which McDonald's was it? And she can find the McDonald's that it was, and you could trace it back. You could. But Trump is insisting that she's lying and not providing any more information than that. And, of course, all his followers will believe anything he says. But to somehow emphasize the point, he said he was going to work at McDonald's, and he did that a couple of days ago. And the whole thing was staged, too, in case you thought that was spontaneous, him walking into McDonald's saying he wanted a job and wanted to go to the fry table or whatever he called it. They shut down that store, cleared everybody out, and only the right people were let in. And anybody who drove up was already pre-selected and a fan of his. I mean, I guess you can't really expect him to go into a busy McDonald's and start making fries. In fact, it's probably against all kinds of health codes for anyone to just go in and start making fries without training or washing or whatever. You know, there were no orders. He just handed out whatever he felt like handing out. But that's, you know, full disclosure, that's how it was. And that's fine. You know, that's fine. It's just, it seemed a bit silly. It seemed a bit weird. And considering these are the people that he would prefer make pennies and not have a standard minimum wage, not have health care, things like that. You know what? We're just not even going to mention that. What we are going to mention, though, is something that is breaking right now. I don't know if you know about this, Kyle, but ever since that visit...
Everything's breaking.
Well, this is serious. McDonald's burgers have been linked to E. coli in the U.S., and this is happening right now. E. coli, in case you don't know, is a type of bacteria that can cause serious stomach problems.
Wait, which ones? Just hamburgers, right?
It's been found in quarter-pounder sandwiches. That's CDC has just announced this.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if he touched any quarter-pounders, but he was in the area, and you had to know that there was a risk. The CDC has so far recorded 49 cases across 10 states. 10 cases resulted in patients being admitted to hospital. I'm reading a BBC story. That's why it came out that way. Admitted to hospital, yes. And one person has died. So this is serious. This is really serious. If you're thinking of going to that drive-up lane, seeing what politician answers and getting a quarter pounder, think again. It's probably not a good idea. Most of the cases were recorded in Western and Midwest states. Where did he do it again? Does anybody know? Was it a Midwestern state? I'm not even sure.
I want to say Michigan, but I don't know. Maybe Wisconsin.
I want to say Pennsylvania.
Was it Pennsylvania?
No, I just want to say it.
Okay.
Mostly I want to say being admitted to hospital, going to university. Why do we need the extra word? What England, Canada, they do it right, you know? Take them to hospital. You don't need to say the hospital, you know? It's more like a hospital because there's many hospitals around. If I said I was going to the hospital right now, you would not know what hospital I'm going to because there's like five of them around us. So I would have to say I'm going to a hospital, and then you'd say, well, which hospital? And it would just be dragged out. And, you know, say, go to hospital. Yeah, it makes more sense. Why don't we listen? Why don't we listen? So anyway, yeah, serious. Avoid McDonald's, either scary people at the drive-in or diseases. On a more upbeat note, and continuing along something we were talking about last week, more recreational pot shops are opening up. Now we're talking about Riverhead. Last week, I believe we mentioned Southampton, the town of Southampton was finally getting one. And this week, Riverhead, supposedly, will be opening soon, this fall, they say. One in Calverton, one in Riverhead. And so far, none in Brookhaven. If you don't count the native reservations that already have a whole bunch of them, the state-sanctioned ones have not yet arrived in Brookhaven. What this basically is, do you remember a few years ago, people in Florida voted to allow those with felony convictions to vote again? Yeah, in Florida, if you were a felon, as Donald Trump is, you would not be allowed to vote ever again. Yeah. Of course, this doesn't apply to Trump because he's a felon from New York. Apparently, that's okay. But if you're a felon in Florida, it was probably one of the reasons why that judge dismissed the case against him. You know, the one that's on his payroll. But in any event, they voted to allow felons to have the right to vote again. Except the elected officials in Florida didn't agree with the public. And so what they did was they made it almost impossible for those people to vote. In order to vote, okay, fine, we will honor what the people said, but you have to pay all of the court fees. And they just basically launched it into the stratosphere so that virtually nobody could afford to pay all of the fees before they would be allowed to vote. And that's how you subvert the will of the people. That's what's happening in Brookhaven. That is what has happened because while New York State said it's legal, marijuana is legal now, Brookhaven decided that, and so did other towns, and so did Nassau County, they decided that they didn't want it, despite what the people wanted. And so they either just said, no, we're not going to opt in, period, or they basically made it so difficult, saying that, well, you can't have something within 1,000 feet of a school or a dance studio or a home or all kinds of ridiculous regulations that made it virtually impossible to even find a site, let alone a landlord willing to allow you to do business there. So those regulations have been relaxed a little bit after some public outcry, but it's still slow as molasses. And should be much further along. When did they legalize pot in this state? It was years ago, so many years ago. You can still grow your own, though. Do you happen to know, Kyle, what the limit is and how much you can grow? Is it?
I think it's around half a dozen mature plants at any one time per individual, per household.
Wait, so if you're the Brady Bunch and you have like
okay, that's wrong.
Eight
per
people in your family.
It's per household. I would go with that. Cause
just a thought.
If you check it and I'm wrong, I'll be on the safe side. So let's say it's six per household.
I do know you're allowed to possess 5 pounds of marijuana per person. And this is unlike any state in the country. 5 pounds.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
That's something.
Relax. It is a lot, but it's...
Well, there's certain things. You can't buy 5 pounds at one time. I don't think you can transport 5 pounds at one time in your car. But you can have 5 pounds in your house. That's a hell of a lot. But, you know, I'm continuing to see in various editorials and just hear people talking in coffee shops. There is so much misinformation and fear and just kind of surprising ignorance about what risks, if any, there are in having legal marijuana in your neighborhood, in your state. And, you know, it's incredible to me. Yeah, of course, people do not want kids to get a hold of this stuff, as they have been doing for generations. And if you have it so that you have to go into a place where your ID is checked, no kids are allowed, and it's all labeled and very much done with security in mind, you are much less likely to have kids come upon this stuff. Sure, they could, if you're not careful, if you're a parent and you leave it lying around, they could get into it that way. In much the same way they could get into your alcohol. You know, they don't have these kinds of restrictions for liquor stores. They don't have these kinds of restrictions for 7-Elevens or even supermarkets where you can buy beer. And believe me, kids can get into that a whole lot easier. And the effects of marijuana, as opposed to the effects of alcohol, are so incredibly trivial. When you think of what the percentage of fatal car accidents that involve liquor or beer or just alcohol in general, it's you know, I just took the driver safety course. I should remember the exact number, but it's staggering. It's way too high. That is a huge problem. Alcohol makes people aggressive, makes people do stupid things. And, you know, you should not drive high either. People know that. But I found that most people, when they get high, they get a little paranoid, too. So they're not going to just do something and say, oh, I'm fine. They're going to say, well, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to sit back a little while and just relax. And that is basically what marijuana is good for, what cannabis is good for, is relaxing. It's basically taking the stress level down a little bit. When you go into one of these dispensaries, and the people who criticize it have never been into these places, you will see such a wide array of people. It's not like a Cheech and Chong sketch, okay? You will see older people. You will see handicapped people. You will see younger people. You will see college professors. You will see lawyers. You know, anything you can imagine. And everyone is so well-spoken, educated, friendly, helpful. You know, it's really something to behold. If you have fear about this, go check it out yourself. And, you know, just ask questions. And you'll see how it's not the way you think it is. At least, that's my feeling. So, yeah, you know...
It's on the ballot in a bunch of other states.
It is.
Speaking of elections. And
if
stuff.
Harris wins, it could be legal throughout the entire country. So that would be something. It is legal throughout all of Canada. This is a trend I don't think we're going to turn around. And there's a reason for that. There are medicinal advantages to cannabis. They have been proven. Science is on the right side here. And yeah, we don't want people acting irresponsibly. And I think that's emphasized a whole lot more than it is with alcohol. And these restrictions to make it so hard, so you have to jump through hoops just to get to a place, that's not helping anybody. Why is it okay for a liquor store to be right next to a supermarket or even sell beer inside a supermarket? Why is that okay when the effects of alcohol have been proven over and over again to be so much worse than the effects from smoking pot? You know, it boggles my imagination. It really does. And we need to address that. You know, it's in New York City, you can find a dispensary right next to all kinds of other outlets, right there in the middle of Manhattan. And it's like that in Canada as well. It's not a big deal. Let's stop making it a big deal.
I would also emphasize that it isn't necessarily for everyone.
No.
There are some people that just do not respond well to the substance, and in many of the same ways that people have adverse reactions to other substances like caffeine or alcohol or many prescription drugs that they might be in danger of having an allergic reaction.
It's not being forced down your throat, absolutely not.
So, like, in my view, the opportunity to experiment and to try it, if you are over the age that the state sets and wanting to see if you like it or if you benefit in any way, the stores that are opening provide a level of quality that you can tell what the strength level is, especially with things that you're consuming like gummies or other edible, but and beyond, you know, there's sodas, there's all kinds of different ways of consuming it. There's products with no psychoactive properties, the THC.
These are the questions you ask in a dispensary, and but you'll be amazed how educated people are.
When you're there, you're able to freely just kind of get the lay of the land, figure out what kinds of products might be for you, and you can trust that the levels of potency are as labeled, which in ways that the ever dwindling black market just cannot guarantee. And I do mean dwindling, because the more of these places that open up, the less opportunity there is for unlicensed places that are filling in the gaps.
Right.
So I just think that's really important to emphasize, because people that aren't familiar with the substance, if they try it from some place they can't trust or that they don't know what they're consuming, like any other kind of drug or food even, they're kind of rolling the dice. And these days that's incredibly dangerous. So,
yeah,
but certainly it should be available for the people that are going to be consuming it anyway and propping up those black market distribution locations.
You know, it might surprise people. I don't actually use the stuff. I support it because I see the benefits. I've read about the benefits. I've gone to many dispensaries and seen them in action and just witnessed the difference in having it legal as opposed to something that's shady and done in parking lots. So let's get past that already. And, you know, this is what people want. Let's stop being afraid and let's look at the challenges ahead and the benefits ahead as well.
I think also the paranoia you mentioned is definitely an attribute of prohibition.
Of course, yeah.
If something is illegal and you're doing what you think shouldn't be criminalized, that environment itself, and then going to these sort of back alley distribution points, that in and of it, that bakes in a certain level of
I see what you did there.
Paranoia that is to those who experienced it, and I think many generations past was quite a anxious period maybe in their lives, or is a difficult thing to enjoy as much.
Right.
When you eliminate that from the process, and I think like you said, an ability to allow people a certain level of introspection, and it slows things down a little bit so that you aren't maybe as irrational or impulsive as you would be when your inhibitions are gone with like a high blood alcohol level.
Yeah, I look to music as a guide to much of this. And you just ask yourself, how much good music would not exist today if musicians had not been indulging a little bit in cannabis? It opens up your creativity in many people. Not everybody, but many people. Now, I don't know very many artists or albums that were created while somebody was completely drunk. I just don't think it it works that way. And on that note, we have an anxious time coming up. It's just 2 weeks from tonight, in fact, Election Day. That's going to be a very, very stressful night, and maybe beyond that, maybe well beyond that. I do not advise that people go out and drink on that night. I seriously do not advise that. It cannot end well, even if it ends well. However, cannabis, I think we all might need some on that night. You know, to calm the nerves a little bit, to make us not be as emotional and maybe even hysterical. It calms you down. It helps relax you. Helps make you think a little bit. And we're going to need a lot of cannabis ahead. But that's the tiny steps that Long Island took in the last week. Two more coming in.
Well, great update.
Yeah.
We'll, I'm sure, revisit this topic. What else do you have?
I'm just waiting for that first one in Brookhaven. You know, I want to see that open. I want to see something on the North Shore. You know, come on, people. Your job is not to block the will of the people. Okay, something else that happened on Long Island, you might have read about this or heard about it on the news. Apparently, for some reason, we had the last full-size Kmart store in the whole country out in Bridgehampton, and now we don't. They closed their doors and shut the lights off for the final time on Sunday. I really wanted to go out there. I wanted to go out there and see with the final blue light special and whatever, but I think the whole place was pretty much empty at that point.
It looked bare from some of the coverage. I saw.
Yeah, they 99% off. I saw some of the signs. I don't know what they were selling, but yeah, that's okay. So there's one very small store in Miami, supposedly. Anybody in Miami can check that out for us. I'm not sure why Kmart had a very small store, and there are also a handful of locations in Guam and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Does anybody know why? They just haven't gotten down there yet to shut them down? Okay. It's just weird how these big box stores, that's a big box store, right? So many of them have disappeared, you know, and others haven't. But it's just, you know, they had more than 2,000 stores in the United States. Was this all Amazon? Did they cut into the business that much that there are none? They're all gone? I mean, I'm not mourning this. I don't care. I really don't care about Kmart. I've probably been in it twice in my life. Radio Shack hurt, though. Radio Shack really hurt. That's a chain I miss. Sears couldn't care less about. You know, but I am curious about old chains that nobody remembers. I'm trying to think of any of them right now. Gosh. Well, Macy's still exists, don't they? Yeah. Does anybody remember Billy Blake? That was one that was out here in Setauket. I think there was more than one. That was a big box store, I believe, when I was a child.
Circuit City.
Circuit City. That was huge. That was huge. CompUSA. What was the one out west that was sort of like a Radio Shack? That we thought, oh, yeah, that place still exists. And then we found out it didn't. Fry's. Fry's Electronics. If you have a chain that you'd like us to mention that you remember from your past that is no longer with us, please write to us here at Off the Wall, otw@2600.com, otw@2600.com. What do you see, Kylie?
Nothing.
Was it one of those creatures?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, boy, yes. In parts of Long Island, you get, it's going to sound bad, they're flying roaches, but they're not the kind of roaches that care about food. They're the kind that come from the wild, and they literally live in the woods, but sometimes they get inside, and you have to catch them. If you look on pest sites, you know, the sites that that people who get rid of pests run, they will say these are not anything to be worried about. Just capture them and bring them outside, and that's what Kyle's doing right now. He's capturing one under a cup, and it fell on the floor, and now Kyle's chasing it. They're not afraid of humans until they realize that you're trying to catch them. Then they start running around. Unlike regular roaches, which get into people's food and all that kind of stuff, these guys like the light. They don't skulk around in the darkness and run when you turn the light on. They're attracted to the light, and that's how you find them. But yeah, wood roaches, they're called. Wood roaches, imagine that. So they're tiny, too.
So fries.
Oh, yeah, back to the chains.
Computers.
Okay, one more, and then we'll move on. Well, I guess we can do fast food outlets.
Arby's, Circuit City, computer.
Arby's is still around. Why did I think they were gone? Because all the Arby's around here are gone. There used to be a bunch.
We're doing fast food.
There used to be Jack in the Box too. Well, why not? Fast food counts.
All right, but where are we going? What's the point?
There used to be a Hero shop in Setauka called Fat Humphreys.
Okay, that's terrific.
Yeah. But I think that was the only one.
I do think this observation is apt for the time. It's like a quiet shift, huge shift in the way consumers get things. Instead of going places, things come to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's exceedingly online. But it's partly because of the warehousing and the structure of those e-commerce sites, it just really makes the overhead of running a store multiple thousands, as mm-hmm. you pointed out, maintaining those properties, having even franchisees pay those costs. It's just really hard to build a business around that with something that is to consumers more convenient and direct.
Caldor, Sports Authority. It's either Office Max or Office Depot. I can never tell them apart, but one of them went out of business. All right, I'm done. But look at this. This is unfortunate. Did you know that Kmart and Sears are both owned by the same company? Boy, Transformco. And this news item that I am reading from Newsday said they did not respond to a request for comment on Sunday. Well, you can't expect to reach out to a company on a Sunday and get a response, but I can see why they want to kind of not talk about it. All right. There was an election 2 days ago in a place that we've been called Moldova, a very small country in Europe, but not in the EU. And they were voting not only for their president, and she won for the most part. She has to appear in a runoff because she didn't win more than 50%. That's how it works in most of the world. But they had a referendum on whether or not to pursue joining the European Union. Now, the president, Maya Sandu, she's pro-Western. She said her camp won fairly in an unfair fight after the referendum found voters to be narrowly in favor of joining the European Union, despite allegations of Russian interference. Now, I was looking at the numbers, and we're talking about literally a couple of hundred votes in the entire country. And most of the votes, the no's were leading for a good part of the day. It started to tip in favor of yeses when the people who lived abroad started having their votes count. Now, pro-Russian parties had urged people to vote no or boycott the vote altogether, but turnout was close to 50%, which is higher than the 33% threshold that's required to make the vote binding. Yeah, 33% threshold. Below that, it doesn't count. But there's all kinds of accusations that Russian operatives were buying votes and pressuring people and all kinds of basically nefarious activities, because polls in previous months showed a huge yes majority, and then that number started to go down as Russia put pressure on. In the United States, White House National Security spokesperson John Kirby said the results demonstrate Moldovan democracy is strong. Moscow has been working actively to undermine Moldova's election and their European integration, but they did not succeed. Now, Moldova borders two countries, Romania and Ukraine. We all know what's happening in Ukraine. We've all seen it. Moldova is basically in the very same region. And Vladimir Putin feels the same way about Moldova moving to the West and not being in his sphere of influence. So I don't know what the reaction is going to be. It's something that we definitely should pay attention to. If you've never heard of Moldova, I suggest reading up on it. We went there a couple of years ago. There's at least one show that we did from there. And we found it to be a really nice place, a place that really seemed to want to move ahead. It's probably the poorest country in Europe right now. And I noticed there were a couple of EU projects already taking place in Moldova. The EU was investing in infrastructure and things like that, even though they weren't a member of the EU. And I just felt that they really were hungry for something better than what they have right now, which is, you know, a lot of pollution and just things not being as good as they could be.
Yeah, what was the capital?
I have it in my head. I have it in my head, but yeah, that's the breakaway republic. They have a breakaway republic too, on the eastern part of the country, Transnistria, I believe that's called. It begins with a CH. I can look
Chisna.
At Chisna. That's it. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we went there on Christmas, which was not our Christmas. It's like a week later.
Yeah,
and that was fun. We didn't know we were doing that too.
There is a fair amount of air quality, and I mean that's part of their system having emerged from a certain level and certain types of technology, and this is, you know, I guess on display as a something that is a priority for the people there, that, you know, integration and access to markets and newer technologies and the ability to sell and import as you like. It's important. It helps evolve, helps with the adoption of new technologies and additional forms of like energy production and whatever they're interested in pursuing. And as I recall, I think a lot of the power plants, the coal fire and other power plants, are near Transnistria. So like that is an aspect of that whole strategic sort of declaration of independence, because it also sort of holds a certain level of strategy were anything to ever happen there. And I think those are things that they would change and would want to change about their infrastructure. So I mean, and it was pretty, you know, it was hard to breathe.
Yeah.
I remember. I mean, I guess you get used to it, but
boy, things were cheap there too.
Yeah, and their wine made up for it. So.
And they're the biggest producer of wine in Europe, I think, or very close to it, which a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
And that would all change. You know, you'd actually be able to buy wine from Moldova. Not that that's the reason to.
Oh, I think you can
get into
wine.
It's hard. It's you know, go to your local wine shop, and which they're everywhere, unlike dispensaries, and you can. Ask around for Moldovan wine, see what happens.
But getting there and exploring it, and then now to, like, you know, have had a first-hand look, and then hear news like this, it's always fascinating. Makes being a traveler ever more interesting. Gives you insight when you're catching up with a place you've been to.
No, I recommend it. In fact, a great way to do it is what we did. We went to Bucharest in Romania and took a train from Bucharest, an overnight train. From Bucharest to Chișinău, and that's the way to see the country.
Yeah, you like go up the mountains and in all these stops along the way, and
you meet all kinds of people.
There's a lot of snow.
Yeah, well, it was that time of year.
It's a good train trip.
But you know, you can get a nice hotel room for about $25. it's insanely cheap. But the thing that worries me is the breakaway republic, Transnistria. Because they're going to resist quite a bit joining the EU or moving towards joining the EU. and Russia very much supports that breakaway region. So that's going to be a bit touchy.
Yeah, imagine like if the election does not go in the way of to their liking, so then they're going to kind of retreat in terms of their emphasis or double down in their emphasis and support in that area, because it'll be as much of an enclave as they can carve out with the political winds not being in their favor in the wider country itself, or other country as it is.
Okay, meanwhile, over here, groups in Russia have created and helped spread viral disinformation targeting Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz. That's according to a senior U.S. intelligence official who said this today. The content, which includes baseless accusations against Minnesota governor's time as a teacher, contains several indications that it was manipulated, said the official with the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Digital researchers had already linked the video to Russia, but today's announcement is the first time federal authorities have confirmed the connection. The disinformation targeting Walz is consistent with Russian disinformation seeking to undermine the Democratic campaign of Vice President Kamala Harris and Walz, her running mates. Just that fact alone, that they're seeking to disrupt that campaign and not the other one, that should tell you a lot right there. Russia also has spread disinformation aimed at stoking discord and division ahead of voting, and may seek to encourage violent protest after Election Day. Look, we don't need Russia's help. We can do all this on our own. Last month, analysts at Microsoft revealed that a viral video that baselessly claimed that Harris left a woman paralyzed in a hit-and-run accident 13 years ago was Russian disinformation. And more recently, a video surfaced featuring a man claiming to be a former student of Walz's who accused the candidate of sexual misconduct years ago. Private researchers at firms that track disinformation, including NewsGuard, already have concluded the video was fake and that the man in the footage isn't who he claimed to be. Some researchers have also suggested the video may contain evidence that it was created using artificial intelligence, but federal officials stopped short of that conclusion, saying only that the video contained multiple indications of manipulation. So this is the kind of thing you can expect to see more of, as the interests of those overseas are put into play.
Aren't they fun?
Yeah, it's
they seem so fun.
And if you want to...
I want to be that fun.
If you want to participate, you only have a few days left. First of all, early voting is in full swing, I believe. 9 days? Wait, is it 9 days? No, we're 14 days away from the... Okay, so it begins 9 days before the general election, which means voting for the general election will start this Saturday, October 26th. And that runs through Sunday, November 3rd. And the hours are basically 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. They list every single day here, but they're all the same hours, 8 a.m. Oh, no, that's not true. I'm sorry. On Saturday and Sunday, it's till 5 p.m. On weekdays, it's till 8 p.m. And it opens up at 8 a.m. And you go to the Board of Elections, visit the Board of Elections website, and find your county Board of Elections. And that's where you can go and vote early. Now, the registration deadline is also this Saturday coming up. So be sure to take care of that quickly.
I am so glad that you brought this up, but I don't need this information. You want to know why?
Oh, I know what you did.
Yeah, I did.
You went and done voted, didn't you?
I have voted.
Wow, okay, so you can't take it back now.
Why? I have no need to.
Okay, all right, good. Well, you know, everybody in the state of Washington, which is where you're from, votes through the mail. And it works great. It's you get so many ballots because they're always asking your opinion on one thing or another. You can track your vote, make sure that it arrives safely. Your ballot is signature matched, so that there's no fear of it not being you. And of course, you got your ballot, and you know you got your ballot, and you sent it in. So it's all on the up and up, and it's an efficient system. It really is.
Yep. It was an optional system when I was a young person, and then by the time I think a couple years maybe after I started voting, it became the only system. They no longer held polling places, and they do drop boxes and, of course, the mailing. I think early on you had to pay postage, but you do not have to pay postage. And it's something that is incredibly common with people that are in public service or that are mobile.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of the world we're living in. And it works. It works for people of all walks. It's simple. It's much like what you learned in grade school when you use those what is it called? The testing. It's Scantron. Yeah, that's what it is. So standardized testing, that same format. You just basically use dark ink and very clearly make your selection and check that you filled it out, enclose the whole thing, and as you said, give it a signature and mail it off as soon as you can. And I think that many people in the military, many people in far-flung places overseas, they use very similar methods, and it because it's it works so well with the U.S. Postal Service, it just became easier to maintain that as the only method of voting in that particular state. Mm-hmm. Other states have other methods.
Every state is different.
They have kind of a mix of them, or they still offer absentee as optional. But it's gaining traction. I think a lot of states just found that it was as verifiable as you could get, and worked with the greatest flexibility across their populace.
Well, as I said, every state is different. Wherever you happen to be listening from, be sure to check with your Board of Elections. Make sure you're registered. If you're not registered, make sure you do register, assuming the deadline hasn't already passed.
Yeah, you've got to be current.
Yeah.
And double-check that.
For God's sake, vote, because there is so much at stake. Here's something in New York State that's kind of important as well. It's called Proposition 1. Yeah, be sure to check both sides of the ballot because there are things printed on both sides. And this Proposition 1, I'm going to read it to you, Kyle. Tell me if there's anything here that bugs you. It's in two parts. Part 1. No person shall be denied the equal protection of the laws of this state or any subdivision thereof. No person shall, because of race, color, ethnicity, national origin, age, disability, creed or religion, or sex, including sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, pregnancy, pregnancy outcomes, and reproductive health care and autonomy, be subjected to any discrimination in their civil rights by any other person or by any firm, corporation, or institution, or by the state or any agency or subdivision of the state pursuant to law. You good with that? It's basically saying discrimination is bad. Don't discriminate. You're not allowed to do that. Anything leap out at you as problematic?
They didn't list criminal in there. You identify as criminal.
You're gonna compare criminal to people's identity? Moving on.
Part two. I've heard those kind of comparisons lately.
I know you have, but not here. You're watching too much C-SPAN. Okay, part two. Nothing in this section shall invalidate or prevent the adoption of any law, regulation, program, or practice that is designed to prevent or dismantle discrimination on the basis of a characteristic listed in this section, nor shall any characteristic listed in this section be interpreted to interfere with, limit, or deny the civil rights of any person based upon any other characteristic identified in this section. Okay, that's a whole lot of legalese there, but I think the general idea is we're against discrimination. And if you discriminate based on someone's race, religion, sexual identity, sexual preference, whatever, that's not cool. That's not going to be allowed. You can discriminate based on someone's actions, you know. There's all sorts of ways to judge people. This is not acceptable. And it's such a basic human right, you know.
Smell isn't in there, right?
I don't even know what you mean by that, but
I'm trying to think of a possible problem I have, like it, that it's missing something or that something doesn't belong. most, I can't think of anything that you listed that doesn't belong there. Those all sound like things you want to have equity and defend, and not encourage or create an environment where discrimination against those things is allowed. I'm not really trying to be silly, is what I'm saying.
There is a debate around this, and much of that debate centers around protecting abortion rights. Though the word abortion is not mentioned anywhere on the ballot. And critics say there's something else in Proposition 1 that has them up in arms.
Is this also a sports thing?
Well, you know, our friend Lee Zeldin used to represent us here in the 1st District. Dead set against this. Absolutely, vote no. this is covering all sorts of other things that have nothing to do with abortion. He and other critics have said the proposition's language is vague and opens the door to constitutional changes that could impact schools, voting rights, and families. It may sound wonderful to protect against unequal treatment of these classes. However, it's the exact opposite, said Lisa Azzarelli of the Save Our Schools group on Long Island. So if you know anything about that organization, you know where this is coming from. They're looking to pass this because they want to disrupt the family dynamics, said State Assemblyman Michael Fitzpatrick, who, of course, represents Suffolk County.
What's the family dynamic?
I don't know. Basically, what these people are saying is we need to be able to discriminate. Because if we can't discriminate, we can't get our way. And they will try to scare you and say that men are trying to play in girls' sports and go into locker rooms and things like that. First of all, you realize how offensive it is to refer to somebody who has transitioned as a man. Okay? There's that. No one seems to be talking about that. But, you know, this is just an attack on one group of people that you don't understand, and you're counting on other people not to understand them either, and to fear them, and to hate them. And that is what we should be focusing on. Why in God's name are these middle-aged and elderly white men so obsessed with transgender kids who are playing sports? And, you know, the only people who should have any say in this are the people playing the sports. You know, I'd like to ask the U.S. women's soccer team or any of the franchises, what do you guys think about this? You know, if you have a trans athlete on your team, is that something that's acceptable to you? I will listen to whatever they say because they are the people that are in the middle of it. Not congressmen, not Lee Zeldin, not any of these right-wing douchebags. Sorry, I don't respect your opinion because you don't know what you're talking about. Quite literally, you do not know what you're talking about.
Well, they all have daughters, and they're in this, like...
I want to hear from the daughters, like, then. Let's hear what the daughters have to say without being told what to say.
It's like paternalistic overdrive of, like, I don't want a little princess to be, you know, mixing with people that are not exactly
her. That sounds awfully familiar. It really does.
I'm sure you're really giving her the best advantage she needs.
Look, I don't think there are kids out there saying, you know what, I'm going to get an operation and change my sex from male to female so I can steal a peek in the girls' locker room. I don't think that's happening. It's just, it's disgusting. The hatred that I see every day being broadcast, being given equal time when it doesn't deserve any time. And it's just, it's awakening the most ugly spirits in so many people. They think it's okay to just attack somebody because they're different or because they're vulnerable or because they don't understand them.
I want to stay stuck on the paternalism thing because I could go off on that for the rest of the hour. I know we don't have time, but it's just so, like, you know, ironic that you're, you know, uplifting strong, you know, females in an environment where, you know, they're taking on ever more leadership roles, doing better and better, and you need to protect them from navigating, changing to get into a sports gear or something. That's your big help. It just may, or they'll be confused about their own gender because you know, they're so dim that you need to guide them ever more. And at what, high school or middle school age? I mean, give me a break.
If it's
ridiculous.
If you ever want to see how small a deal this actually can be, go to SeaTac Airport. You know, when we were flying out of there, they have genderless bathrooms. And basically, it's like everybody just goes into this room, and there are stalls. And the stalls are self-contained. You know, everyone has privacy, but families, male, female, hang out outside the stalls. It's not a big deal at all. I remember using one in Germany, and I realized that somebody next to me was of a different gender, washing their hands. I'm like, wow, this isn't all a big deal. We did that at our own conference in Queens. We are just being told to freak out about things that are not worth freaking out about in any context.
Well, and those meanings for those spaces were labeled in traditional ways, and it's based on many, many years of traditions and just rethinking the space and evaluating the needs of society as it is now. And recognizing that you can build them in ways that don't intrude or don't create discomfort, but are still functional and accessible to all.
I want to quickly go over some local races, where they stand right now as far as polls, if you believe them. Freshman Rep. Anthony Desposito, you might have read about him with some scandals, which seem to follow every Republican candidate. The guy who replaced Steve Englebright locally for state assembly got disbarred not too long ago. I mean, Steve Englebright was in that position for decades, and not a single scandal in one term this guy gets disbarred. Unbelievable. But Anthony Esposito, freshman rep, was 4th Congressional District. His scandal is that he's hiring all kinds of family members and associates for positions in his office.
He faced
a big deficit in his reelection bid, basically trailing Laura Gillen by 12 percentage points, 53 to 41. Nick LaLota represents us here in Suffolk County, has a slight edge, 47 to 44, over Democrat John Avlon. You know, I saw the debate between them last night. You can see it on Newsday TV, maybe even on YouTube. I don't know. First of all, they were both very well behaved. I was impressed by that. But John Avlon really impressed me with his knowledge of foreign affairs and the economy and just things in general. It was an eye opener. But watch it for yourself. See what you think.
He wasn't long winded either.
Just keep in mind, LaLota is another one of these people that is not for non discrimination, such as in Proposition 1. And you have to wonder when that's such a big deal. Hey, what else? What else is a big deal? You know, we could go on, but we're out of time. I just want people to, when you watch one of these rallies or campaign events, which one leaves you feeling hopeful? Which one leaves you feeling angry? And how do you want your vote to be cast? Through anger or through hope? It's worth thinking about.
Swish, swish.
Good night, everyone.
This is my right, a right given by God, to live a free life, to live in freedom, talking about